Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 13 entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, and today 34 has no purport, so I'll read that myself and then we'll do 35 responsibly. Pitaryuparate pandao sarva naksuridakshishun arakshatang vyasannata pitrivyaukvagatavitaha. Prabhupada's translation. When my father, Pandu, fell down, and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well-wishers. Alas, where have they gone from here? So this is Vidura speaking, Yudhisthira speaking to Sanjaya. So now text 35, the speaker changes. Suta uvacha, kripaya, sneha, vaiklavyat, suto, viraha, karshitaha, atmeshwaram, achakshano, na. Okay. Na. Pratyaha tipiditaha. Suto vacha. Kripaya sneha vaiklavyat. Suto viraha karshitaha. Atmeshwaram achakshano. Na pratyaha tipiditaha. Suto vacha, kripaya sneha vaiklavyat, suto viraha karshitaha, atmeshwaram achakshano, na pratyaha tipiditaha. Suto vacha, kripaya sneha vaiklavyat, suto viraha karshitaha, atmeshwaram achakshano, na pratyaha tipiditaha. Please chant. Sneha vaiklavyat, suto viraha karchitaha, atmeshwaram achakshano, na pratyaha dipiditaha. Suto vacha, suto viraha vaiklavyat, raha karshitaha, atmeshwaram achakshano, suto vacha, kripaya sneha vaiklavya, raha karshitaha, atmeshwaram achakshano, na pratyaha dipiditaha. Vaishnavins. Suto vacha kripaya snehavai klavyat suto viraha karshitaha atme sharama chakshana na pratyaha tipiditaha suto vacha Okay, synonyms. Sutta Uvacha. Sutta Goswami said, Kripaya, out of full compassion, Snehavai Klavyat, mental derangement due to profound affection, Sutaha, Sanjaya, Virahakar Shitaha, distressed by separation, Atma Ishvaram, his master, Achakshanaha, having not seen, na, did not, Pratyaha, replied, Atipiditaha, being too aggrieved. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, Sutta Goswami said, because of compassion and mental agitation, Sanjaya, not having seen his own master, Dhritarashtra, was aggrieved and could not properly reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Please repeat. Sutta Goswami said, because of compassion and mental agitation, Sanjaya, not having seen his own master, Dhritarashtra, was aggrieved and could not properly reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sanjaya was the personal assistant of Maharaj Dhritarashtra for a very long time, and thus he had the opportunity to study the life of Dhritarashtra. And when he saw at last that Dhritarashtra had left home without his knowledge, his sorrows had no bound. He was fully compassionate toward Dhritarashtra, because in the game of the Battle of Kurukshetra, King Dhritarashtra had lost everything, men and money, and at last the king and the queen had to leave home in utter frustration. He studied the situation in his own way because he did not know that the inner vision of Dhritarashtra has been awakened by Vidura, and that therefore he had left home in enthusiastic cheerfulness for a better life after departure from the dark well of home. Unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life simply by artificial dress or staying out of home. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tilamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacha Deshtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Unvaisavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Sabanutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvatamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Mancha Kopaturubyasha Kripasanume Evacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaisnevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So where is there such a leader as Yudhishthira? Any leader on the planet dare to put himself in that category? Absolutely not. Simply misleaders. And we say that openly. Technically, in the United States at least, we're not supposed to, as a religious organization, participate in any kind of political recommendations. But that doesn't mean that we don't see. We see and we can speak clearly that the current crop of leaders, not just in the United States, all around the world, they are bogus leaders, misleaders. They cannot compare to a real leader like Yudhishthira Maharaj. Here he is. After Dhritarashtra had sided with his sons, including and led by Duryodhana, to, from childhood, conspire against these Pandava boys, the five Pandavas, to try to kill them so they would not be able to assert their rightful claim to the throne. So many ways they tried to kill them. But in spite of all that, Yudhishthira Maharaj still thought fondly of Dhritarashtra. It's amazing. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't artificial. He wasn't just saying it so that history may record him as a nice guy, but actually internally he was feeling something else. No. He actually felt like that. So this is why it's so difficult to understand the personalities from this Vedic age, from this ideal age. Because they show different facets that seem incongruous. On the one hand, they were fully engaged in this patricidal war where they were killing their relatives. But it was on religious principles. It was on the principle of satisfying the Supreme Personality of God and not just for personal ambition. Like Prabhupada said many times, why did so many of the Mughal and Muslim rulers of India have Indian ministers? Why? Why did they employ Indians to be their ministers, their prime ministers, their advisors? Prabhupada said because they knew quite well that in the game of political intrigue, even their own brothers could kill them to take over the kingdom. And they themselves engaged in that, just like Prabhupada tells the story of Shah Jahan. How he was the ruler, but then his son Aurangzeb decided he wanted to be the ruler and he arrested his father and put him in jail. And that was a good takeover. In the bad takeover, they killed him. So because of that, understanding that their own relatives could kill them at any moment to take the kingdom, a lot of these Muslim and Mughal rulers, they used Indians as their advisors, not other Muslims, because they didn't trust them. So Yudhishthira was not that kind of ruler that, you know, by political intrigue he wanted to take over and just to make himself look like a good diplomat. You know, nowadays they have you put the right spin on everything. You know, you apply you employ these spin doctors. You do something horrible, but you employ the spin doctors to gloss over it and make it look nice and convince the public that, no, it's actually the right thing. Like that. No, it's not like that. So Yudhishthira was not that kind of ruler. He was Raja Rishi, Rajarshi. Raja, he had the power to rule personally, not to send others to die. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira and the other Pandava brothers, they were on the forefront. They were leading the fight. They weren't like sitting home drinking tea and eating toast and sending out the foot soldiers to die. No, not like that. No, these are real Rajas, real Kshatriyas. They had that spirit. And the real Kshatriyas, they enjoyed a good fight. It's not that they were some or other just hoping to win and go. No, they enjoyed a good fight. Oh, come on. All right, you want to fight? Let's fight. Let's get into it. And so they would do that. And they had code of conduct. The enemy had to be of equal stature. So if you were an Ekarata, then you fought another Ekarata. Ekarata being somebody who can fight against one other chariot. If you're a Maharata, like the Pandavas, Bhimasen and Bhishma Dev on the other side, Karna, these were Maharatis. They could fight with 1,000 chariot warriors on the other side by themselves. So equal. You have to be on an equal footing. Just like even in modern fighting, you have to be a heavyweight fights a heavyweight and a middleweight fights a middleweight. You don't have a heavyweight fighting a flyweight. What kind of fight would that be? So fighters have to be on an equal footing to make a good fight. And so the Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthira, they were of that caliber. They were real Kshatriyas, real fighters. They knew how to fight because they were trained. It wasn't just by accident. They were trained since childhood how to chant mantras properly, how to use the weapons properly. So it was no accident that they were good fighters. Prabhupada, again, said many times, it's not like the modern army. They take some poor boy off the farm or off the streets of the city and they give him a few months training and send him to war. And they don't really want to be there in the first place and they're not properly, you know, they don't have the right mentality, they don't have the right physique, they don't have the right anything. And therefore, there's no wonder a lot of them desert. Go to Vietnam? No way. Hell no. I'm going to Canada. And so a lot of them during my period anyway, in the late 60s, early 70s, a lot of deserters, a lot of ran away. I didn't get drafted because I was in college studying something that they thought was useful, civil engineering. But quite a few devotees got drafted. And in a couple cases, Prabhupada told them not to go. And so they found a way out of it by acting like they were crazy or whatever. at least one case, one devotee who got drafted and went to Prabhupada and told him that he got drafted, and Prabhupada told him not to go, but he went. And long story, but he had a horrible experience in the Vietnam War. He was captured along with some other American soldiers. And they were being kept in a horrible, you can imagine, the Viet Cong were not exactly the best hosts. So they were being kept in some horrible prison in the jungle somewhere. But somewhere or other, they were able one day to overpower their captors, kill them, and they ran off into the jungle. So they don't know exactly where they are. It's not, you know, this is way before GPS. You couldn't just like look at your watch or your iPhone and figure out, oh, I'm here in such and such position. No, they had no idea where they were. So they're running through the jungle because they know as soon as the Viet Cong find out that they got out of prison, they would be recaptured and killed. So they're running like anything. And then all of a sudden, bombs are going off everywhere and bullets are being shot around and they had no idea again what's going on. American fighting, but who's which side where? So he's running, this one particular devotee, and he gets shot up really badly. And long story short, he lost both arms. So, of course, later on regretted because Prabhupada told him, don't go, and he went anyway. So, but this is modern warfare. You just take some Hare Krishna off the street, no training, and send them to war. This is modern warfare. But that was not the case during the Vedic age. The Pandavas were extremely well trained as fighters. They had it in their blood anyway. Because although Yudhishthira is saying here that when my father Pandu fell down, Pandu is not his real father. Who was his real father?
Yamaraj.
So, do you think he knew who his real father was? Who was the real father of Bhimasena? Vayu, the wind god. Who was the real father of Arjuna? Indra. And who was the real father of the twins? Nakul and Sahadev. Ashwini Kumaras. So we know that. Do you think that they knew that? Do you think that Yudhishthira knew who his real father was? That Arjuna knew who his real father was? Bhimasena knew who? Yeah, you say yes, some say no. But you have to have Shastric reference. It can't be just because you think so. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so they knew. They knew. Kunti had this benediction that she could call the demigods, and Pandu, because he was restricted by a curse, invoked that, had her call the demigods. So it was known. It wasn't a secret. It was known. But still, because Kunti was the wife of Maharaj Pandu, so the sons were considered to be Pandavas. So the first three were born of Kunti, and then the second two were born of the other wife, Madri. So the Ashwini Kumara twins, they fathered the twins, Nakul and Sahadev, through Madri, not Kunti. Kunti gave birth to the first three. Because when Pandu wanted more sons, he already had three, but let's have more. Kunti said, I'm done, I've had three, that's it. But, he said, then call demigods again, and Madri can be the mother. So she did that. And then Pandu died because of a curse. So Yudhishthira is saying here, when my father Pandu fell down, it was Dhritarashtra and Vidura who brought us up. These uncles, they raised us. So that's a fact. That's a fact. But Dhritarashtra's raising the Pandavas is like a lioness temporarily raising a baby fawn. It happens. Sometimes a lioness attacks a young deer or wildebeest or whatever. And then instead of killing it, all of a sudden she becomes maternally, she has her maternal feelings come to the forefront, and she actually gives protection. You can find such videos on the internet. A lioness protecting some baby prey animal. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. So Dhritarashtra's raising the Pandavas was like that. He was raising them out of duty, but the real idea was eventually to get rid of them so that his sons could take over the throne. But in spite of that, in spite of all those attempts to kill them, Yudhishthira genuinely had genuine positive feelings for his uncles, Vidura and Dhritarashtra. He generally felt, and that's not surprising, because a devotee, and here's a pure devotee of the Lord, has such feelings towards everyone. Not just my brothers, my cousins, my uncle. They feel like that towards everyone. Why? Because they're seeing Vidyabhinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hasani Sunichai Vasupakicha Pandita Samadarshana. They have this equal vision, Samadarshi, equal vision. They see everyone equally as being spirit soul, part and parcel of God. It's not a fake vision. They actually see like that and feel like that and think like that. And therefore, the real Rajarshis like Yudhishthira, they treated the citizens like putra, like offspring. This is my son, and I have to take care of him. And the Prabhupada stressed many, many places, many times, not just the human citizens, but the animal citizens, the tree citizens, the insect citizens. Everybody had a right to live and be protected by the king. So this is how they thought. And if we are advancing in devotional service and devotional sentiment, we should test ourselves. Do we actually see like that? Do we see everybody on that platform as being part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore they have a right to live and exist at the expense of the Father, just like we do? And if they're not understanding that Krishna is their Father, then we try to inform them. But we should actually develop this samadarshi, this equal vision. Here, Yudhishthira previously was glorified as being such a wonderful person that his enemy was never born, Ajatashatru. But that's just one of his qualities. In the third canto, in the Kapiladeva is speaking, and he says that those who are really sadhus, they have certain qualities they should have. Titikshiva, Karunika, Surida Sarvadehina, Ajata Shatavrakshanta, Sadhava, Sadhabhushana. This is Titikshiva. The sadhu has to be very tolerant. Has to be very tolerant. We're in the material world, in the Kali Yuga. At every moment there's going to be disturbance and flare-ups and quarrels and fights. Like right now, there's huge tension between India and Pakistan. We have devotees in both places. Even though Pakistan is a Muslim country, there are devotees living there and practicing Krishna consciousness. And what to speak of India? So many of our own devotees from New York are there already, and some more are leaving tomorrow. Be careful. It's a very tense situation. Just within a few hours ago, both sides shot down jets of the other side. And they both have nuclear armaments. So it's a very tense situation. This has been going on since Prabhupada was here. There was tension between India and Pakistan. And it hasn't gone away. Now it's worse because when Prabhupada was here, they had not yet been nuclear armed. They were just trying to get the nuclear bomb on both sides. Now they have it. There's no question. It's not a question about like how many bombs does North Korea have and they're trying to figure out. No, they know exactly the arsenal on both sides in India and Pakistan. So this is Kali Yuga. People quarrel over trifles and they escalate. They don't back down because it's a question of false ego, false pride. So if I slap you, you punch me. And if I punch you, you stab me. And if I stab you, you shoot me. Like that, it just keeps escalating. So we have to take it seriously. At any moment, these misleaders can push the button and a whole conflagration can start. It can happen. Prabhupada warned that it can happen. He said the only way to make sure it doesn't happen is to spread Krishna consciousness. Make people understand that we're all related. We're all children of Krishna. We're all Krishna servants. Jivara Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das. We're all Krishna Das, every one of us. And to see and feel what others are going through, that's a devotee. Suridam Sarvadehinam. Titikshiva, tolerant, karunika, merciful. Suridam Sarvadehinam. Friendly towards everyone. Friendly to everyone. Not picking and choosing. This side I'm friendly to, that side I'm not friendly. Friendly to everyone. And Prabhupada discussed that at length. He said, Krishna declares in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the best friend of everyone. Who knows where that is? Our bhaktas should know. Studying. Fifth chapter, last verse. Yeah. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarva lokamai suridam sarva bhutanam. Krishna says, I am the best friend of everyone. So Prabhupada said, if the master, Krishna, is friendly to everyone, then the servants have to be friendly. So going around with an unfriendly attitude means you don't see yourself as a servant of Krishna. You can't. If the master is the best friend of everyone, then the servants have to at least try to be friendly. So going around with this, you know, unfriendly attitude means not very advanced. Not very advanced. Now, sometimes it's difficult to distinguish between a serious attitude, gravity, and unfriendliness. And sometimes people mistook that in Prabhupada also. So I mean, why are you not smiling? You know, Prabhupada is not that kind of... Yes, yes, everything is all right. He was not that kind of Swami. Once he was had a meeting, it was a program in India, and there was one Western fellow in the audience, and he kept interrupting and asking Prabhupada all kinds of stupid questions. Prabhupada finally said, sit down and be quiet. And a lot of the Indians, they got upset. They didn't really, Swamis don't act like that. Swamis are supposed to be less. Yes. So they got up and left because they don't understand. This is a real Swami, not a fake Swami. He's come to give knowledge. And you have to respect that and take knowledge. Don't interrupt. So Prabhupada was not, you know, he was, of course, being a pure devotee, he's friendly to everyone, just like Yudhishthir is feeling friendly towards his uncle who tried to kill him. But at the same time, Prabhupada was a no-nonsense, a pure devotee. That's why it's not so easy to understand devotees. To understand God, forget it. Very, very difficult. And also to understand God's devotees, the pure devotees, is not easy because they don't have the demeanor that we think they should have. You see? Being materially contaminated, we think, oh, a friendly person should act like this, and a nice person should act like that. But a devotee doesn't follow some, you know, script that we write. And devotees don't do that. So it's not easy to recognize them in the first place, and it's not easy to understand them. So Prabhupada is very serious. Very serious. But at the same time, he was extremely friendly and concerned about even the bugs. Like their famous conversation he had with one of his servants. Rang the bell and the servant came and he said, check on that bug. He has not moved in the last, 10 or 15 minutes, something like that. There was a bug lying there. So Prabhupada was like that. He noticed everything and he was concerned, genuinely, not trying to make some show. He was genuinely concerned. This bug hasn't moved. Check on him. Make sure he's alive. And sometimes we get upset about other living entities attacking us, like mosquitoes, and there's that conversation that Prabhupada had with one of his servants in Mayapur, Harishori. You know, that's one of the duties of the servant was to arrange Prabhupada's mosquito netting before he took rest at night, and make sure there are no mosquitoes, and so he did all that. And somewhere or other after, they both went in, because after that, Prabhupada would lie down and the servant would massage his feet, legs, like that. So after they went under the net, there was one mosquito. So Harishori asked, Prabhupada, can we kill the mosquito? And Prabhupada said, only if they bite. We like to kill just because they're there and we don't like them and we don't like hearing that buzzing sound. Let me kill them. No, that's not a devotee's mission. If they bite, yes. So you have a right to defend yourself, even from mosquitoes, but don't attack unnecessarily, which is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means we're always ready to go in attack mode. Just like now, India and Pakistan are ready to attack each other, and they're not ready, they're already attacking. Like I said, they had bombs dropped and jets were flying over, and one side shot down the other side's jet, and the other side shot down like that. So now they both have captured pilots, and they, you know, like that. So it's a tense situation. Take it seriously. Very tense situation. But it's not only in India and Pakistan, it's all over the world. At any moment, anyone can explode for no reason at all. Because that's Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means because of sinful activities and because of such a pent-up stock of sinful reactions that people have to suffer individually and collectively. At any moment, and they can, things can explode. All this animal slaughter doesn't go in vain. All those animals are going to be, they're going to get their revenge. And all of that bad karma that's built up over this planet right now, it has to come out. Some prophet said, this is the way the bad karma is reduced, by war, famine, pestilence. The prophet said, round them up and kill them wholesale. When you or I kill one person, but when Krishna kills, round them up wholesale. And people don't put two and two together. That is because of sinful reactions. But just a few years ago, there was a tsunami that went around the Pacific Rim. And within 72 hours, hundreds of thousands of people died. And that's nothing. You know, Krishna can multiply that by 10, by 100, by 1,000 in no time. So the world needs this Krishna consciousness. Without Krishna consciousness, without people understanding that we're all eternal servants of God, of Krishna, it's just going to get worse. So this is our duty, is to follow in Prabhupada's footsteps. Don't imitate him. And this is a mistake a lot of devotees made after Prabhupada left. They would imitate Prabhupada, try to imitate Prabhupada, the way he did things and even his mannerisms. And that doesn't make you an advanced soul, just to imitate the mannerisms of a great soul. But we have to follow in the footsteps. Prabhupada set the example. Even at personal risk and lack of personal comfort, go out there and preach, just like we have our traveling Sankirtan party. It's not easy living with other devotees in a little van, you know, traveling around months at a time, but they do it to help spread Krishna consciousness, to get the message out there. You're not this body, you're a spirit soul, just like everyone else. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes, a position before you attack them. Just imagine if every time a hunter went out and took that rifle and aimed at that bear or deer or whatever you're going to shoot, and as soon as they pull the trigger, you would switch sides. Your soul, you, that soul in this body would get transferred to that body, and that soul would get transferred to your body. And then when the bullet hits, you would feel it. You see? Imagine that. Every such situation. You get ready to punch somebody, and as soon as you start moving your arm, you switch places so that when that punch lands, you feel it. You see? So we, intellectually, we should understand. You shouldn't have to actually switch sides to develop the feeling. So Yudhisthira was being a pure soul. He had that ability to feel what others were feeling. So he was feeling for his uncle, my old uncle, who acted like my father after my father died. Now he's gone. Where is he? He was feeling compassion. In spite of the fact that Dhritarashtra tried to kill them so many times. So this is real devotee. This is real devotee. So we should follow in their footsteps and really develop real compassion. Not fake compassion. Oh, what's wrong? Let me give you a band-aid. And then as soon as I turn my back, I'm saying, I hope you lose your finger. Not like that. Not that kind of pseudo-compassion. But real compassion based on spiritual understanding. Knowing that everyone is a spirit soul, including all the trees and the plants and the animals, and try not to, just like I always warn devotees, when it rains and the rain is coming again this weekend, all these earthworms that get flushed out, and you see them on the sidewalk, poor things, wriggling. And if you come along and not, you know, being conscious, you step on them, imagine, they've avoided being drowned in their hole. They got out. Now they're struggling, and then you come along and being, you know, Mr. Spaced out, you just step on them. So we have to be concerned about all living entities. Look before you step. And now in spite of our best efforts, you're going to kill living entities by breathing, by walking, by what. But don't do it just because you're totally unconscious. Prabhupada said, Krishna, you can't be Krishna conscious if you're not conscious. So we have to upgrade our consciousness. We have to see how every day our consciousness is improving in terms of our awareness and in terms of how we interact with others, each other. So a community of devotees means opportunity every day to interact properly, improve that interaction every day, and then take it outside. And this is one of the things that attracts people to Krishna consciousness. When they see how the devotees genuinely get along with each other and genuinely happy to be in a big family like this, and they want that, because that's what's missing out there. Yes, you can work hard. By hook or crook, you can make thousands, millions of dollars and still be unhappy. Still be unhappy. This is the case for most of them out there. They work hard, or they come up with some scheme, some internet, something, and they make money faster now than they used to in the old days. Some kids, 12, 15-year-old, they write some app, and it's sold online, and they make millions of dollars before they even graduate from high school. But they're still not happy, because they don't know what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. So that's what we have to offer. But not just theoretically, read the book. No. See, they have to see practically how we're applying it, how we're becoming more and more like Yudhishthira, more genuinely compassionate, not just theoretically. All right, so we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Where's the microphone? We'll start with this gentleman.
Hare Krishna.
What's your name again?
Roger.
Roger? Okay. What's your question, Roger?
Not a question, a comment. Just thanks and praises, because when you said the definition of Raja, I was like in ecstasy. I was like, ah. And then also, you know, being when I was in possibly in the mode of ignorance, you know, I went to the military. I was in the Marine Corps and the Army and a cop in New York City. So just that story, you know, touched me. Just, and then also too, with the mosquitoes, you know, in the Marine Corps, they told us, you can't even kill the mosquitoes because you ate, so let them eat. It's a female. She's getting food for her children, so we couldn't even kill them. So you just touch on many things. I just want to honor and praise this. Thank you for the words and stuff.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the nice class, for speaking today. My question has to do with, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about false renunciation, and he's talking about unless one has some higher taste, just renouncing something is not going to work. So my question has to do with how to practically apply that. You know, we could say, well, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning is false renunciation for me, or, you know, chanting 16 rounds is such a struggle every day, that's false renunciation. I mean, it's like you could almost say, you know, just living is false renunciation. So how do you define that? How do you apply that?
No, false renunciation is not applied when you're dealing with the order of the spiritual master. To chant 16 rounds minimum every day, that's the order of the spiritual master. To follow the four regular principles, that's the order of the spiritual master. To rise early, take bath, attend the temple program, that's the order of the spiritual master. So to do that is real renunciation. And actually, if you analyze all of the things that we do, it's not really even renunciation at all. It's actually joyfully performed, as Krishna says later in the Bhagavad Gita. But false renunciation is defined by Rupa Goswami, that if you don't use things in Krishna's service, including yourself, that's false renunciation. You're not seeing the connection between the thing, between yourself and Krishna, and therefore you don't engage. That's false renunciation. Prabhupada used to give the example when he was here. Like Bank of America, he said, if somebody goes into Bank of America and in a loud voice says, I renounce all the money in this bank, and they walk out, he's a crazy person. It didn't belong to him in the first place. But so real renunciation is yukta vairagya, that whatever Krishna has given me, my iPad, my intelligence, my car, my clothes, everything should be used in Krishna's service. That's real renunciation. False renunciation is, oh, this material world is false. So this is the Maya bodies. Brahma Satya, Jagan Mitya. Spirituality, the spiritual world is real. This material world is false, and therefore I renounce it. And therefore many of them, they get big reputation as, I don't touch money. Money is false. It's part of this material world. I don't touch. But Prabhupada said, fine, you do that. Money, give me money. Money is honey, like that. Because he knew what to do with it. Build temples, publish books. That's real renunciation. Not that I get the money and I spend it for myself, or I don't take the money because I don't know what to do with it properly. Either one of those is not correct. The correct thing is take the money and spend it in Christian service. So that's real renunciation. So in this particular sentence that you're referring to, Prabhupada says, unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life simply by artificial dress or staying out of home. So there's a nice story that illustrates that. As is predicted in the 12th canto, things are going to get worse in Kali Yuga. Just get worse, really bad. The government is going to tax the citizens like anything, and there's going to be scarcity of everything, so people are going to suffer. So there was one guy who was going through that. He was suffering like anything. The family life at home was bad. The business, everything was bad. So he left home. He just couldn't take it anymore. He left home and he went to the forest. But he was morose. So he was sitting there in the forest, just moping. And people would come in the forest and see him and think, because he hadn't shaved, long beard. And, oh, nice sadhu. Oh, sadhu, is there anything we can do for you? Silence, wouldn't speak. Of course, he's a human being. He needs to eat. So they would bring stuff and leave for him to eat. And then, gradually, big stock of stuff was left there for the sadhu, the silent sadhu. And the rats, naturally, the rodents would come and eat. So they would think, the sadhu? And the rats said, oh, of course, a cat. So they would board a cat to protect the donations. And so, after a while, yes, the cat kept the rats away, but then the cat started making a racket. And, you know, these disciples were wondering what to do. Because now they thought the sadhu is our guru, we have to take care of him. Oh, of course, the cat doesn't have any rats anymore to eat, must need milk. So you need a cow. So they brought a cow. And so this so-called sadhu, every day he had to milk the cow to get milk to give the cat, so to keep the cat quiet. So they notice Guru Maharaj is not very happy still. What's going on? Oh, of course. No, he has to break his meditation to milk the cow. And he needs a wife. So they brought him a wife. So he went full circle. He renounced the wife and children, went to the forest. But because it was false renunciation, he wound up in the same situation. He had a wife. And then, of course, then there's wife, children will come. And so that's false renunciation. Don't give up your home and wife like some of our devotees did in ISKCON in the early days. But Bhadra Prabhupada didn't want to get married, brahmachari life and stuff, they got married, and then after a couple of years and a few children, Prabhupada didn't want to take sannyas. So Prabhupada said, no, that's not the way it is. You stay in one ashram and you fulfill the responsibilities and then gradually move on. Not just because things are hard, I give it up and I move to the next ashram. If such false renunciation will lead to fall down. Understand? I think Kriya Shakti Mataji wanted to say something.
I have a question. Were the Kurus aware of how the Pandavas were conceived? Was that conception a secret? You were? Was it because then they wouldn't be eligible, they would be not eligible for the throne? Unless it's maternal. Unless the, you know, the dynasty was carried through maternal, but it seemed to be a kingdom.
That's a good question. I'll have to do some research. I'm not sure at what point they knew. Just like the Kurus didn't know Karna's real parentage. The Pandavas found out eventually at the end. Even the Pandavas didn't know that Karna was their brother. So there are a lot of secrets that were kept and revealed later on. So I'm not sure at what point, if at all, they knew of the divine, you know, parenting of the Pandavas. But it wouldn't have made any difference. Because if Pandu adopted them, then they're his children. Just like even Dhritarashtra himself, who was his father? Vyasadeva. Yeah, he wasn't sired by some king. So technically you could say he was not eligible for the throne on that, but because he was adopted as royal lineage, then all of that didn't make any difference. Every one of them, Vidura, Pandu, and Dhritarashtra himself, they were fathered by Vyasadeva. They were fathered by Vyasadeva. So technically, they're not really in a royal line. Yeah, but my point is, Vyasadeva was not a Kshatriya. It was not a Kshatriya. It was a great saint. So there's a lot of, you know, confusing elements there. But in terms of your direct question, I'm not sure at what point, if at all, the Kurus did know about the divine parenting of the Pandava boys. But still, because they were brought up by Pandu as his sons, they had to be accepted as such. All right. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you.